The following Dharma talk was recorded in March 2014 in St. Louis, Missouri. It is one of eight recordings from the retreat called Suffering and the End of Suffering, taught by Bridget Rollins and John Yaffe. The retreat was sponsored by Mid-America Dharma. If you like this recording, you can find more talks at www.midamericadharma.org. For questions, we welcome your emails sent to info@midamericadharma.org. Bridget Rollins has practiced insight meditation since 1997. Recognized by the Spirit Rock Teachers Council as a community Dharma leader, Bridget co-leads the St. Louis Insight Meditation Group, teaches classes, and leads retreats. John Yaffe began practicing insight meditation in 1999 and has been co-leader of St. Louis Insight Meditation Group since 2006. He has served on the board of directors of Mid-America Dharma since 2005 and currently serves as its president. More information about Bridget and John can be found at www.dharmastl.org.
In this meditation, we'll be using the Buddha's instructions for the third foundation or establishment of mindfulness, which is mindfulness of mind or mindfulness of mental states. And here are the instructions as he gave them to us. And how does one, in regard to the mind, contemplate the mind? The Buddha answers, here one knows a lustful mind to be lustful, and a mind without lust to be without lust. One knows an angry mind to be angry, and a mind without anger to be without anger. One knows a deluded mind to be deluded, and a mind without delusion to be without delusion. One knows a contracted mind to be contracted, and a distracted mind to be distracted. Please note the absence of needing to do anything about these mind states. So the Buddha doesn't say if you have a lustful mind, start beating yourself up and trying somehow to fix it. He says simply no. I think Ajahn Sumedho is where I heard the phrase, it's like this. Oh, anger is like this. When the Buddha talks about lust, it's not just sexual desire. It's that lust for pleasurable activities, pleasurable experiences. It's the wanting mind, the greedy mind, the grasping mind. When he talks about a mind filled with anger, that can happen at many levels. It might be irritation, or it might be rage, or anything in between. We probably all know the deluded mind because we know minds that are filled with confusion, bewilderment. The mind that's saying, now what am I supposed to be doing? The mind that can't remember the instructions. The mind that's not sure that I'm doing this right. Not even sure I know how to do it right. And these three states are associated with the three kilesas, the roots of all suffering, greed, hatred, delusion. The two other states that are mentioned, the contracted mind, that refers to that inner withdrawal of mind due to sloth and torpor. So the contracted mind is the one that's contracted with dullness, heaviness. It's a collapsing inward, a lack of energy to direct the attention toward the object with any kind of interest. The distracted mind is the mind that's restless, pulled here, there, everywhere. Quite often by the mind that is lustful, wanting a pleasant experience. So jumping here, there, and everywhere, little monkey mind to find that sweet banana, never really finding it. Or jumping all over the place to avoid what is not wanted. Or jumping all over the place because of doubt. Well, no, maybe this isn't right. I should do this. I'm focusing on breath at the nostrils. Well, maybe that's not the place to focus. Maybe I should be on the belly. Oh, no, maybe it should be the chest. And the instruction here is simply to know what mind state is present and to know when it's absent. There's no need in this instruction to do anything about them. And actually, holding them in this awareness, so bringing our ardency of focusing our attention and letting it remain there, finding the way to keep that siding stuck in place, and just be with whatever is there. Clearly knowing what mental state we're having or its absence. And mindful of it. Noticing how the mind wants to come in with judgment, commentary, agenda, a proliferation of thought about the mind state, and especially a proliferation of thought that personalizes it. So as John said before, it goes from, oh, look, there's anger arising, to, oh, my God, I'm such an angry person. I'm never going to change. People aren't going to like me. Or instead of desire, craving, greed arising, and just noticing, oh, that's what wants to be here right now. Personalizing it, how ashamed I am that I just keep pigging out on cookies and powdered sugar donuts and video games and TV and novels and clothes and gambling and booze and whatever it happens to be. And spiraling deeper and deeper into that identification that this is who I am. Rather than seeing clearly the truth. Letting the mind settle in concentration. So a relaxed attention that simply settles and stays with the object, acknowledging its presence, acknowledging its absence. And when we can just hold this mind state, whatever it is, in a non-judgmental awareness, then we begin to see the truth that this mental state is impermanent. The presence of lust, anger, delusion, contraction, distraction is not a permanent state. The absence of the mental state is not a permanent state. These come and go. So we can't find any satisfaction, or we don't want to pin our hopes that trying to wrestle these to the ground and making them be preferred mental states all the time is going to bring any satisfaction. It goes against nature. And we can also see that this coming and going is not coming from us. It's not personal. It arises out of causes and conditions, many of which are external to this mind-body system, others which may be internal to the mind-body system, but that's not us. Joseph Goldstein has this to say. What is reassuring about all of these instructions is that they fully acknowledge the difficulties that arise in practice. It's not that somehow we need to be free of all the hindrances and defilements in order to proceed. Here, the Buddha is saying that mindfulness of all these states when they arise is itself the path to freedom. Through bare attention and mirror-like wisdom, we see their ephemeral, impermanent, and selfless nature. That itself is sufficient for liberation. Mindfulness of all these states when they arise is itself the path to freedom. Through bare attention and mirror-like wisdom, we see their ephemeral, impermanent, and selfless nature. That itself is sufficient for liberation. So just checking into this body and noticing if it's tense or relaxed, if it's upright or pulled in, and finding a posture that is upright and alert. We're balancing so many different factors. The teacher Taraniya talks about meditation as having three qualities or three instructions. Relax, pay attention, be kind. The relaxing is the samadhi. Concentration isn't a forced holding the attention on an object, but it's a relaxing onto it. It's an invitation for mind and body to settle, to be at ease, to calm. It's something that we're not used to doing, and so it gets practiced over and over again. There is the focus, but it's a relaxing into rather than a forcing of attention. And from that place where the attention is settled, then we can open up to be aware of what is actually arising, bringing mindfulness to what's being settled upon. And wise effort means that we're always cultivating the kindness, cultivating states of love and compassion. And so we bring kindness to whatever experience we're having, bring kindness to ourselves having the experience. And I'd like to invite you right now simply to bring this relaxation, paying attention, and kindness to the breath. So beginning by simply opening to and receiving the breath just as it is. As best you can, aiming and sustaining the attention so that you're aware of the entire in-breath, the entire out-breath. The breath from beginning to end. That you're aware of and present to the breath just as it is, letting breath breathe itself and just noticing how the rhythm, the speed, the pattern, the shape changes from one breath to the next or over time. And just being aware. Long, short, deep, shallow, even, uneven, tight, relaxed. Mind wanders, you greet it with kindness. A kindness that invites it back, redirects the attention, right now to the breath, wherever you feel it most easily. Let's whatever pulled the attention away just recede into the background. So rather than struggling to make everything go away, we just keep making breath center stage and let everything else, like actors on a stage, move to backstage. Each time the mind wanders and you bring it back, you might remember to relax, settle the attention, refocus, and pay attention to what's happening right now in the breath. And do this all from an attitude of kindness. Relax, pay attention, be kind. Keeping the breath as an anchor now, from time to time, experiment with turning the attention to mind and becoming aware of whatever mind state is present. Right now, you might notice the contracted mind, sleepiness, heaviness, sluggishness, torpor, and sloth. Just bringing a kind interest and just noticing, contracted mind is like this. Let yourself take in its qualities. See it as clearly as you can. Investigate it fully. Not to figure anything out or get rid of it, but just to know it as intimately and precisely as possible. If sleepiness or the contracted mind dissolves, knowing its absence and knowing intimately what does the absence of sleepiness feel like in this mind, this body. Not to grasp at it, not to do anything with it, but just to really know it. And so observing the mind in the same way you observe the breath, moment by moment, without any interference. We let breath breathe itself, and as best we can, we're aware of in, out. We're aware of qualities associated with breath. We invite mind and body to calm and simply receive the experience. We do the same with mind. It's somewhat like sitting by a still forest pool and just watching the banks of the pool to notice what comes to visit, what animals come. And we just notice which ones come, and we notice them go, coming and going, coming and going. Our only job is to stay in our seat and to know moment by moment what's happening around the perimeter of the pool. We don't need to get up and fix or change anything. So continuing, experimenting with this mindfulness of mind, knowing moment by moment what mental state is present, knowing when there's absence of mental state. And if the mind gets confused or too distracted, always knowing you can come back to the breath to get anchored, to stabilize the attention again, and then go back to experimenting with this awareness of mind. Continuing your moment-by-moment awareness of mind states. Knowing if greed is present or absent. Anger, present or absent. Delusion, confusion, bewilderment. Present, absent. Distracted mind, contracted mind. And if possible, staying with whatever the mental state is, if it arises, until that moment when it ceases. And just noticing what that experience of the cessation of the mental state is for you. Don't worry if you can't do that. It takes some concentration, simply focusing as best you can, being present as best you can to whatever mental state is present in the moment, you're moving along the path. But right now, maybe bring a little more curiosity about what happens when the mental state ends, when it ceases. What is reassuring about all of these instructions is that they fully acknowledge the difficulties that arise in practice. It's not that somehow we need to be free of all the hindrances and defilements in order to proceed. Here the Buddha is saying that mindfulness of all these states when they arise is itself the path to freedom. Through bare attention and mirror-like wisdom, we see their ephemeral, impermanent, and selfless nature. That itself is sufficient for liberation.